From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. When people think of the kind of business that was most impacted by COVID, they often think of businesses that used to welcome people inside. Things like restaurants or gyms or spas. Businesses that just cannot continue to operate in the way that they used to. But you know, the thing is that it doesn't stop with those businesses. There are all sorts of other businesses that serve those businesses, that are attached to those businesses in one way or another. And so the impact radiates outward. And I recently talked to somebody who operates one of those businesses, a step removed from the place where people actually walk in. And the really fascinating thing is, yes, when the doors closed, this person's business was super impacted, but he found a way to use his business, impacted as it was, to help the business that used to help him. Now, that was all very abstract, so let's get specific. Meet Dave.
My name is Dave Kalina, and I'm the founder and CEO of O2 Recovery Drink.
O2 is a drink that athletes are supposed to drink after they work out really hard. And Dave used to do a ton of sales through, of course, gyms.
Going into COVID, we had, I don't know how many off the top of my head, probably close to 1,000 gyms across the country that were selling O2 really, really successfully and made up just over half of our business. And that channel shut down pretty much overnight.
So now Dave had a problem, or really he had two major problems. He had, of course, his own financial problems. He was losing a ton of sales, and that was translating into far less money in his company's bank account. But then he also knew that if these gyms were to go out of business, he would lose potential revenue sources forever. So he felt like he couldn't just worry about himself here. He had to worry about his partners too. And because he could still operate, right? I mean, people can't go inside the gyms, but they can still drink O2. If he could get his product to consumers, then he could still operate in a way that the gyms couldn't. Well, then he was in a position to help the gyms. And so that is what Dave did.
We looked at creating a program that would effectively allow those same gyms to share in some of the upside.
And here's the amazing thing about this. Dave did it, and I'm going to detail for you exactly how he did it and what he did. But the great thing is that by sharing revenue that he was making on his business in a pandemic with gyms that couldn't even open, he didn't just save the gyms, or at least help save the gyms. He also significantly increased his own business. By one count, by at least 10x. This wasn't just a way for Dave to save himself, and it wasn't just a way for Dave to save the gyms. This is a lesson in what it means to pull together and how when you do the right thing, it isn't just good for you, it is good for business. So, on this episode of Problem Solvers, I am telling you the story of Dave. Dave is actually on the cover of a magazine that we publish called Startups. It's a newsstand-only magazine. Perhaps you've seen it. And Dave's on the cover of the issue that is hitting stands right now. And this story is inside. But I wanted to use the audio from the interview that I did with him for that story to share with you here on the podcast, because I think that what he did is just so powerful and important to think about during a time in which so many businesses are impacted in so many ways. But you know what? We're all kind of like puzzle pieces that have been pulled apart. And part of our challenge is figuring out how to put it back together. So that's all coming up after the break. As companies begin to find their footing and grow, everyone knows the road ahead won't be easy. You need every advantage to succeed. And that's why smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system, which gives you an edge on the most important parts of your business. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over your finances, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need all in one place. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every penny with precision. You'll have the agility to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, and run your whole company right from your phone. When you use NetSuite, you are joining over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to make it happen. And that goes beyond just the tools NetSuite offers, because the company surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business, and they want to give it to you for free. Here is how. To receive your free guide called 7 Actions Businesses Need to Take Now and schedule your free product tour, just go to netsuite.com/problem solvers. Again, to get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now, go to netsuite.com/problem solvers. netsuite.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. So in this episode, we are talking about how O2, the energy drink, helped the gyms where O2 used to be sold. And before we get into that, let's talk about where O2 came from, because this is a real case of how when you see a need and you don't exactly know how to fill that need, you can partner up with someone who does. So here's Dave.
Like many entrepreneurial endeavors, it came out of a personal necessity, basically. So I used to have a typical 9-to-5 job. I worked in corporate strategy at a Fortune 100 company in Columbus, Ohio, which is where we're based out of. And I would work pretty long hours during the day. It was a fairly demanding job. And then I actually cut my entrepreneurial teeth as a founding member of a charter nonprofit private high school in Columbus called Cristo Rey. And so that became largely my night job. And so when I had my day job and I had my night job, I was basically working all the time and burning the candle at both ends. And I led a pretty active lifestyle as well. And so I found myself fueling this otherwise healthy active lifestyle with a bunch of Gatorade and a bunch of Red Bull. And so that was a moment where I realized, well, this probably isn't great for me, all this sugar and, you know, artificial stuff. And so I started to look for a healthier alternative that I liked. I couldn't find anything. And I approached a friend of mine who was and still is a medical doctor at Ohio State's hospital about creating something better, basically. And we set out to build effectively a better mousetrap at the outset, combining the stuff that we liked about energy and sports drinks without any of the stuff that we didn't. And then the medical doctor came across some really compelling peer-reviewed medical literature that showed the accelerating effects of ingested oxygen on the body's processing of toxins and recovery time. And so that's when O2 became O2 as we know it today.
And by ingested oxygen, what he's saying here is that the drink that he sells has oxygen that you ingest. And so Dave goes out, this was 10 years ago when they launched this thing, Dave goes out and he basically starts selling it. And he wants to reach the athletic community. So he starts going to gyms, independent gyms, gyms with really loyal fan bases. And that works really well until COVID comes along. Because of course, when COVID shuts down gyms, the gyms that are impacted the most are the ones that don't have tons of cash behind them, the ones that can't just financially hang on. And so now he is suffering from lower sales and his gyms are suffering significantly. And he's thinking, what do I do?
We were in a position where, you know, honestly, I had no idea if I was going to have to lay people off or furlough people or cut back on benefits or whatever.
But Dave felt like, you know what? I don't know exactly what's going to come for me, but I know what the right thing to do is. And the right thing to do is to not just be concerned about me. So he launches a program.
We dubbed it the 50-50 initiative, where we were splitting 50% of profits from each sale back with the gym where the online purchaser generally works out at.
All right, let me just break that down so that it's really clear. What he's saying is that he is now selling his drink, O2, direct to consumer, because of course he can't sell it through the gyms. But to anybody who used to walk into a gym and buy O2, when they buy O2 now directly from O2, Dave is going to split the profits of that sale 50-50 with the gym. He certainly doesn't have to do this. I mean, this is direct to consumer. He is selling directly to the consumer, but he is offering 50% of that sale to the gym where the person would have otherwise bought it. It was really generous. It also meant that Dave wasn't going to bring in nearly as much money as he would off of these sales, but Dave just felt like, you got to do this.
So we definitely chose to sacrifice our margin for this, and pretty significantly. And We did so, one, because we felt that it was the right thing to do, and two, because we wanted to give gym members a way to support their gym while the gym was shut down. And we learned very, very quickly how supportive members were of their gyms. We ended up doing more in revenue in the 3 days that followed online than we had ever before in a month on drinko2.com. And so we developed a program that enlisted a few other brands to join us in honoring that same 50% profit sharing commitment. And that program ran for about 6 weeks, and we would effectively introduce another brand into the program each week, and they would offer the same deal basically. And collectively, between the six brands involved, we generated over $230,000 to give back to over 2,600 participating gyms.
So if you consider the numbers here, you'll notice that we're not talking actually about a ton of money. I mean, it's $230,000. That's how much money was shared with gyms. That sounds like a lot of money, but realize it's going to 2,600 gyms. It's being spread across. It's not life-changing money. But the important thing to understand here is how good deeds reinforce more good deeds. Because Dave did this, and it got such a strong response that his sales increased, and also gym owners just loved him for it, were so appreciative for it, that it got Dave thinking about how to be even more ambitious, about how to do something else, now knowing that he was going to do really good for other people and, frankly, do good for his own business too.
When we were about to conclude the program, we had noticed just from our own circles and other stuff that we were hearing and conversations that we were having with gym owners, that a lot of gym owners were preparing for May to be a really, really challenging month. Because any gym, regardless of how many members they have or how their retail operation is set up, retail is always a nice to have, but membership is what keeps the lights on, right? It's the membership dues is what keeps gyms in business. And we got a sense that a lot of people, when the gym shut down, a lot of members were like, okay, I'll keep my membership active for April because I'm a good person and because I want to support my gym. But, you know, Zoom workouts got pretty old, and the gym memberships at the places that we work with are $150, $200 a month gym memberships. So it's not an insignificant amount of money. And so a lot of folks were considering canceling in May, and gym owners knew that, and they were gearing up for a really, really challenging May.
So Dave thinks, here's an opportunity to do more good. And what does he do? Well, that is coming up after this break. I want to tell you about a new podcast that I think you'll really like. It's called How Leaders Lead with David Novak. And David knows a thing or two about leadership. He is the co-founder and retired CEO of Yum Brands, the parent company of Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and KFC. So he has seen it, lived it, and now is here to tell it. Each week on his show, David sits down for real conversations with some of the top names in business, sports, entertainment, and life to talk about how they get such incredible things done and how to make such incredible things happen. We are talking big names here, like NFL star Tom Brady, Snapchat CEO Evan Spiegel, and leaders from Zoom, Starbucks, Panera, and more. Their conversations drive towards the insights that every leader or aspiring leader needs to hear and can help you refine or develop your own leadership style. How Leaders Lead with David Novak is friendly and conversational, but packed with important lessons, so check it out. Listen and subscribe to How Leaders Lead with David Novak wherever you find your podcasts. Again, that's How Leaders Lead with David Novak. All right, we're back. So to remind you of where we are here, Dave had done this thing where he was sharing 50% of the profits from drink sales with gyms where members had ordered drinks from him, and that went really well. It drove lots of sales. It made gym members and gym owners very, very happy. And then he was looking ahead at how gyms were about to have a really terrible month. Like, gym members were willing to pay 1 month where they couldn't really access the gym, but were they going to do it a second month? And maybe, just maybe, O2 could help.
And so we developed another program with three of the brands that had participated in our 50-50 profit sharing initiative, where each brand said, we're basically going to pull together and we will offer, as a group, we will offer every gym member who works out at one of those 2,600 participating gyms a $100 gift card as long as they keep their membership active for the month of May. So $25 per brand, four brands, $100 gift card to help offset the cost of their membership right? And to incentivize them to stick around. And when we announced that program, I said earlier that the profit sharing thing was a nice gesture. When we announced the gift card program, we had gyms telling us this is what just kept them from throwing in the towel. This is what was keeping them in business. This was more than their bank or their government had done for them. I mean, we got more inbound in the week that we announced that. We got more inbound from members wanting to participate, make sure their gym participated, and gym owners making sure their gym was qualified to participate collectively than we had the past 5 years combined. I mean, it was crazy. It was nuts. And to give you a sense of how that affected sales, we did more sales in the last 2 days of April than we'd forecasted the entire quarter. So it was a really, really well-received program. And I don't know how many gym members ended up keeping their membership active because of that, but based on the response that we've gotten, I can confidently say tens of thousands of people.
And all of that is, of course, great. And if any entrepreneur at any time knew that taking a risk, especially taking a risk during a really challenging time, was going to guarantee lead to more sales, they would do it, of course. But the thing is that Dave couldn't have known that. I mean, maybe by the second time he had a good sense that this would be a positive response. But that first time he had no idea if sharing this money with these gyms was going to do well for him or was going to put him out of business. And so I wanted to talk to Dave about how he went through with it, because I think it's probably the most important part of this story. Because of course, he did what he did and it was great. And he was in a way well positioned to do it because he had these relationships. But how do you know? How do you know that you're doing the right thing, especially during a time in which, you know, you should rightfully be concerned about the stability of your own company? How do you know? And here's what Dave said.
We are a very values-oriented company. We've got three values. There are only three of them, but they're really, really important to us. Honesty, humility, and hustle. So a lot of times, looking at a decision within the lens of those three values makes a decision a lot easier. And we felt very much that when it came to this program, as long as we did the right thing to help our core gym owners, as long as we did the right thing, then chances are it'll come back to us in the end. So that was the principle. And when it came to the math and the economics, we were in a position where, you know, honestly, I had no idea if I was going to have to lay people off or furlough people or cut back on benefits or whatever. But I did decide first to share the profits with our core, with our gym owners, because that felt like it was the right thing to do. And what followed was what I was hoping for, which was a significant increase in sales. And that to me was an illustration of sometimes when you do the right thing, it comes back to you sooner than not. And the increase in sales was so significant that we actually had overall, not just online, but overall as a business, we had a record-setting March, which is when COVID hit, a record-setting April online, and another record setting May because of the programs that we had run. I think that today a lot of businesses are under a lot of scrutiny for perhaps prioritizing themselves ahead of their customers. And we don't buy into that. And we do everything that we can to prioritize our customers ahead of ourselves. And it turns out that's just good business. So do I have to run a financially responsible business? Absolutely, 100%. Do I have to make sure that any gift cards that we offer or any discounts that we offer aren't going to put us out of business? Absolutely, 100%. But my thesis is if we clearly prioritize the customer needs, then the business is going to benefit as a result of that prioritization because people can see that and people have seen that so far.
These are challenging times and there's a lot of uncertainty. But I think the one thing that you can be certain of, the one thing that you have to be certain of, as Dave says here, is your values. And if your values direct you, if your values have directed you to success so far, then I would say your values are what you should stick with. Your values are what will continue to enable your success, will continue to find new pathways to success, and will do it in this way that is so core to what you are that even if you have to change the way that you do business, even if you have to alter the way that your relationships work, those values don't change. Those values are your direction. Those values are what get you and everyone else ahead. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.